Can I go ahead and open up to Genesis 32? This week's portion, again, is 32:4-ish to 36:43. I'm going to get to that in a moment. I say ish because in some cases the Hebrew scriptures don't have the same chapter or verses that, for example, the Christian world has set up. So many of our Bibles, if you went and did verse 4, you were actually one verse behind where the actual Torah portion started. Verse 3 would have actually been the beginning of this Torah portion. This was numbered differently. So it would say, Vayishlach, Yaakov, Melachim, messengers or angels, Yaakov is Jacob, Lapanev El Esau, in regard to the God of Esau, or Esau the Mighty One, Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here that is extremely significant, and there's just no way I have time. I think I deleted about 40 slides of things I wanted to get into. The reality of two groups. Jacob is the first one. He takes his family and breaks into two groups. This is a foreshadowing of Israel later, Israel and Judah. And the reality of them coming back together to be one. But it actually starts being broken apart by Jacob in a time of fear. There's a reality of the tithe. There's a reality of him calling him Lord. There's a reality of Esau coming with 400 men when Abraham went out to save Lot with, I think, 318, which is quite interesting, the parallels there. But what I wanted to focus on, which is a few questions. And so let's go over some prior knowledge because we need to realize this going into the Torah portion. First of all, Jacob stole Esau's birthright. Whether you want to say that's right or wrong, whether it's Yahweh's will or not, he still stole it. Okay? Jacob stole Esau's blessing. Now, I don't really think that it was meant for Esau. And the reason I say that is because when Jacob is telling Esau about the blessing, he says, I blessed him and he will be blessed. And that phrase to me says that when he said it, he understood that like there was something meaningful happening, like this was really going to happen. Okay? But he still stole it from what Esau was going to get. Esau was making plans to kill Jacob. In fact, if you remember, his mother said, go away, and when your brother feels where he's not going to kill you anymore, then I will ask you to come back. Well, guess what? Did the mother ever ask him to come back? Would he have come back had not Yahweh made it so bad with Laban that he had to come back? Remember, he fled from Laban. That's significant. Jacob made a vow to Yahweh that he would give a tithe when he brought him back. Now, do you really think that Yahweh is going to allow Jacob to have these problems with his brother and not actually try and fix them? Does Yahweh do that with any of us? You don't need to worry about those problems. The way you offended other people, don't worry. No, we all have to go and fix our problems. Right? Genesis 32, and notice I have the 3:4-ish. That's what I talked about before. Okay? Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there till now. Basically he's saying, this is where I've been this long. Now I want you to realize, is Jacob in a calm mood right now? He is concerned. He just ran away from Laban, which he made a contract saying, neither of us will cross these rocks to hurt each other. So he can't go back. He can only face his fears. His fear is Esau. He doesn't know if Esau has actually changed. This actual sending of messengers, instead of him going himself, was sort of like, let's see how bad it is right now. Now, when you're afraid, one of the bad things that happens as you start second guessing every single little word. And it's very easy to misinterpret and get caught in a whirlwind, and then you finally go to talk to someone and go, I didn't mean that. Oh, he didn't? And then all of it falls apart, and you got all upset and afraid for no purpose. Well, it continues in verse 5. He tells Esau, I have oxen, donkey, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent them to tell my Lord that I might find acceptance, favor, or find mercy in your sight. Now, I've always read this a different way. I always read this saying, I have this and I've sent my messengers to find favor. I think he's actually saying, I have these things, and these things are meant to find favor in your sight. Now, you got to realize, the next verse comes up. The messengers return to Jacob saying, we come to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you with 400 men are with him. Jacob starts going, you know what? It may have come across like I was bragging when I said I had male and female servants, oxen, flocks, and sheep, and donkeys. I don't think he meant that. The fear was, he's coming, and he's bringing 400 men. So that led me, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people that were with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camel, into two companies, and I talked about that. He said, if Esau comes to one company and attacks, the other will be able to escape. His whole life he's been escaping. He escaped away from Esau. He escaped away from Laban. He's setting up another escape plan. What were Esau's intentions in bringing the 400 men with him? I think there is some scriptural support in this, and that's what I want to show you today. Genesis 33, 3 through 4. This happens after when he finally meets him. It says, then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground. This is Jacob to Esau. And he bowed 7 times till he came near to his brother. So he's like, as he's walking, he's like, bow, take a few more steps, bow. He's really trying to slow this process down. Hopefully it'll be settled. And I think he's probably trying to read Esau's face. Going, do I run away? When do I run away? But Esau, look what he did. He didn't come slow. He ran to meet him. He embraced him. He fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Now, does this sound like someone who's coming to attack him? Doesn't seem so. If he came slowly, then they talked, and then he started crying. He ran to him, embraced him, and wept. Verses 8 and 9, then Esau said, what do you mean by this company which I met? And he said, these are to find favor, acceptance, mercy in the sight of my Lord. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself. Does it sound like Esau feels hurt? It doesn't seem so. It's like, you don't understand, I got so much. Don't worry about giving this stuff to me. Now, what's intriguing, this almost gives the point that Jacob still has the hurt inside of him of him sinning. But does it sound like Esau has that hurt there anymore? Doesn't seem so. In fact, it goes on further. And Jacob said, no, please, if I found mercy in your sight, then receive my present. By the way, the present is an offering from my hand. And as much as I have seen your face, as though I have seen the face of God. He's comparing Esau's face to the face of God. Yahweh can be mad. But it doesn't seem like that's the face we saw in Esau. We saw mercy in his face. We saw compassion. And you are pleased with me. You saw me and I was good to you. Or you considered me good. Verse 33:11, please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. So he urged him, and Esau did what? He took it. But he only took it because his brother kept saying, you know what, I have so much, I want to give you some more. Now, Genesis 33:12, then Esau said, let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before you. The idea of going before him would be like, I'm going to be your bodyguards. When we cross this area, which may not be the safest region, I've got myself. We'll go before you. We'll clear the way. He continues in it, verse 13. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows the children are weak, and the flocks and herds which are nursing are with me. And if the men shall drive them hard one day, all the flock will die. Verse 14. Please let my Lord go on ahead before his servant. Go ahead and go in front of me if you want. I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock can go before me, and the children are able to endure, until I come to my Lord in Seir. Verse 15, Esau said, now let me leave you with some of the people who are with me. So what were the 400 with? Oh, let me leave a few of my guards with you if I can't stay with you, and they'll help protect. Let me leave some, because I'm concerned for you, brother. I'm concerned for you, brother, because I don't want something bad to happen. What need is there? He said, let me find acceptance, mercy in sight of my Lord. So Esau accepted it, turned that day, and went his way to Seir. He said, you know what? If you don't need it, it's fine. I don't want to push myself. I'll go. I'll just wait. Key points. Esau has already forgiven Jacob. Esau wanted to go before Jacob. Esau wanted to leave some of his men with Jacob. Why 400 men? I sort of went to this. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded him, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there till now. Now listen, this is the report he gets. I have oxen. I have donkeys. I have flocks. I have male and female servants. All of these, by the way, are plural. And I have sent them, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find acceptance in your sight. What was Esau told? Well, Jacob has been with Laban. We know that. Okay? I have these things, all of which are plural. All of them. Was Esau given any numbers? No. So it's almost like Esau goes, you know what? I don't know how many people are here. If my goal is to go and protect him in his journey, how many men do I think I need to take with me? Now, 400 may have been like excessive, but he wasn't going off much information. He's just going off the reality. He's got oxen, which, by the way, is plural, even though there's no S on that. All right? He's got all these things. He's been away for 20 years. You imagine how many could be with him? A lot. What were Jacob's intentions of telling Esau that he had oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants? I just read this. I think here, these were actually meant to give it to him in the first place to make right for the relationship that they'd done. Now, where would I get that? Well, what does it mean to find acceptance and mercy from Esau? Exodus 22:1 says this. It says, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. This is Yahweh's way. If you go and steal something from someone, you have to actually give back more than you took. He continues in Exodus 22:4, if the thief is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it's an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. Now, how much would it count that Jacob stole the birthright and the blessing? How much would he have to restore to make that relationship right? I don't know. But then Jacob didn't put numbers on it, did he? He just said many. And the goal was, I'm giving them to you so that I may find acceptance or favor. So he's trying to make right. 22:7, if a man delivers to his neighbor money or article of keep and it is stolen out of the man's hand, the thief is found, he shall pay double. That comes up over and over. Would Jacob have known the laws concerning restitution for things stolen? Genesis 32:10 says this. This just sort of jumped out at me when I was reading. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth which you have shown your servant. And then he continues, for I crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have 2 companies. He's saying, I'm not worthy of all the truths that you have revealed and taught me while I have been away. Now, I don't know that Jacob knows the literal reality, but there's no doubt in my mind that Jacob has an understanding that if you steal from someone, you need to make right. And making right is to give back to them. Now, why does Yahweh come and wrestle with Jacob, or a representative of Yahweh? Genesis 28, 20 and 21. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me, or God will be with me, and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, notice what his goal was, then Yahweh shall be my God. But he continues. He says, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give a tenth of it. Now, is he not coming back to the land safe? Yes. But is he giving Yahweh the tithe first? No. He's giving it to Esau first. Why is he giving it to Esau first? Because he's afraid. You'll go back and read it. It says he put him in two companies and then he prayed. Everything he goes through, he makes a plan and then he asks God to bless it. He makes a plan and he asks God to bless it. Instead of going, Yahweh, what do you want? The night before he meets him, by the way, you might go, well, how did he know to cross him that night? Jacob is an extremely wise person. It's probably one of the first alarm systems that were ever created. In Jacob's mind, and I'm guessing, but this is my, if I were Jacob, this is what I would do. By giving him the sheep in groups, number one, you can't tell the sheep, shh, we're sneaking up on him. Shh, you have to be quiet. The sheep will continue being loud. And the more sheep he has, the louder the sound is of him coming. So why that night? There's no doubt in my mind he heard the multitude of the sheep a distance off coming and was afraid. He was afraid of Esau. And I think of Yeshua's words that say, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can destroy the body and the spirit. If you fear someone, they become a god to you and they become your priority. You go to them first. And Yahweh has to turn that priority around. That's the wrestling match to some degree. Exodus 22, 29, and 30, same chapter I just read about the thief. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn, your son, you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me. The point being is, don't delay in giving. Don't wait. Why does Yahweh allow the present offering to be given to Esau? Even though the intentions were not Yahweh's that we know of. It was Jacob's fear. So why would Yahweh allow that? Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says this, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. Be reconciled with your brother and then come offer your gift. You have to reconcile with all your brothers first before you can make right with God. There's no other way. In fact, he continues in 25 and 26, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. Still while you're traveling. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Surely I say to you, you will not by no means get out there until you have paid the last penny of what you owe. My point in going through all of this is there's a lot in this specific Torah portion, but the goal here, I believe, is that Jacob made some mistakes. He hurt. He stole from Esau. Through the whole process, though, Yahweh is teaching him principles, including the wrestling match, including allowing the present to be given. And by the way, what happens after he leaves Esau? He goes and gives an offering, right? Well, he goes someplace and then he goes back to Bethel, and there he gives the offering of the tithe. My point being is, Yahweh's a jealous God. He's not going to allow you to have someone in front of him. But at the same time, he wants that. And notice the wrestling match is with God and with man. That is the wrestling match, to make peace with man and with God. And there are priorities first. The priority means you have to set aside what is God's first, but you need to go and fix before you give that to Yahweh. Because true peace with Yahweh cannot come till after you have peace with your brothers and sisters. It can't happen. It's not his way. And his way is eternal. And what's awesome is that we can actually see ourselves in this passage. So when you feel that time when you're afraid and you're like interpreting every single thing that's going on around you, afraid of what that means, take a moment and go back and look at Jacob. You go, you know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to go and ask some questions before I get all freaked out about this situation. Because you know what? Yahweh has all the answers. He may be silent sometimes. But I think of silence like this. When you're like, oh, please, please, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Sometimes Yahweh goes, just get up here on my lap. Let me push my arms around you. I'm not going to say anything. We just need to calm down first. Calm down. Then we can talk about it. And I see the same thing with Yahweh. Calm down, collect yourself, trust me. I've saved you, I'm saving you, and I will save you. Baruch Hashem.